and welcome to our show, Animal Rescue, where to go, what to do, how to help. I'm Barbara Niven.
And I'm Phyllis Botti. Welcome, welcome.
Today we're talking to Carol Baskin of Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, Florida. Carol, tell us what you do.
Well, we rescue big cats, lions, tigers, leopards. We're the world's largest accredited sanctuary for big cats and have 142 of them representing 16 different species.
Wow.
Wow. Are they all in Tampa?
They're all in Tampa.
Wow.
We're on 45 acres, and so they have a bit of room to run about.
So Phyllis and I consider ourselves like the crazy dog ladies. You must be kind of the crazy cat lady, huh?
I actually have my own action figure now.
Seriously?
tell us about it.
The crazy cat lady action figure?
Yes.
Actually, when my husband and I got married, one of his old girlfriends sent it to him, you know, kind of running me down. And I showed it to my daughter, and she said, that is just the coolest thing. So now it's like the best seller in our gift shop.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we think that's a plus, by the way.
That is. That's terrific. You know, I'm looking at these notes here, and it says that you have over 65,000 supporters all over the globe. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We just have the most wonderful people. The way that they become supporters is either they have visited the sanctuary or they've come to our website. And it's because our website gets 32,000 visitors a day that we have so many people that come there and sign up.
But that's because your website's amazing. I was just on it a little while ago, and I clicked on the video that talks about the special cats that you remember, and I'm still choked up. That is what a beautiful tribute, Carol.
Oh, thank you so much. My daughter does those, and her criteria for knowing whether or not she did it right was if she can get people to cry.
Well, she did. Tell her that she did. It was at least a 2 Kleenex cry, too.
Oh, that's amazing. I have to admit, I didn't have an opportunity to look at it as thoroughly as
especially
Barbara.
Pisces, the fishing cat. It's just fabulous. Will you tell people about what your website URL is so that they can go check it out?
It's bigcatrescue.org. And we have about 150 of those videos online there if they go to the link that says Big Cat Video Clips. They can watch all of them.
Yeah, it's a great website. You can click on anything from where to volunteer or, you know, details and legislation that's coming up. It's just fabulous.
And you're celebrating your 15th year, I'm noticing here. That's amazing. Why don't we start with, can you tell us exactly where these big cats come from?
About 85% of them come from people that get them as pets. And where they originate is usually from the zoos. You know, every year people want to see the cute little baby at the zoo, and then the zoos have, you know, they have these million-dollar enclosures that they build for the animals. So next year when they have cute little babies, those babies have got to go from the year before.
Wait, can I interrupt you 1 second, though? These people are taking, like, lions and tigers in as pets?
Yes.
Is that even legal?
Yes. We're trying to change that.
Wow.
But unfortunately, in most states, that's still legal.
Wow, because, you know, you hear about these people like in Manhattan that have this, like, lion living in a small apartment, you know, right in the middle of the city. That's just unbelievable to me. So most of them are taking them in as pets, and then you get them from zoos and circuses. I didn't mean to
and
cut you off.
And fur farms? What are fur farms?
You know, I didn't know that cats were killed for their fur until 15 years ago. That's what started this. My late husband and I had gone into a fur farm looking to buy kittens, and when we got there, the guy had 56 bobcats, Canadian lynx, and Siberian lynx, and we asked him if there was that big of a market for them as pets, and he said, oh, no. He said, whatever I don't sell as pets, we'll just slaughter next year for their fur.
Oh, my God.
So we came home with all 56, and we bought out the next 2 fur farms that we found. We bought 28 off of another farm and 22 off of another farm, and the deal that we made was we would take every cat they had as long as they didn't kill cats again for their fur. They still kill foxes and mink, but not cats.
Oh,
and we're talking lions and tigers and those as well.
People started calling us after they found out we were rescuing all these bobcats and saying, would you take my pet cougar? Would you take my pet lion? And, you know, I'm just in shock because I can't believe anybody would have a pet lion or a pet tiger.
How big is this problem, Carol?
It's huge. Every year, every other year, we were having to turn away twice as many cats as the year before.
Oh.
And in 2003, we had to turn away 312 big cats because we can only take like 5 or 6 a year. And what we discovered was that this was not fixing the problem. Taking 5 or 6 and turning away 300 wasn't working. And so we started supporting a bill that would make it illegal to sell a big cat across state lines as a pet. And that bill became law in 2003.
Is that a federal bill?
It was a federal bill.
Wow, good for you.
It's It was called the Captive Wildlife Safety Act, and it was attached to the Lacey Act, which is a transportation bill. But what happened the very next year is that instead of being 600 cats that we had to turn away, the number dropped to 165. And that's how we knew this was what we needed to do. We needed to get the laws changed.
Well, God bless you. What happens to the cats that you can't take?
They end up in horrible situations. You know, there are thousands of places that call themselves sanctuaries, but it's, you know, it's just a word. It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And so an awful lot of the time they're going to places where they're going to be shot in cages and these canned hunts.
What do you mean shot in? What do you mean shot in cages?
And
what's
a canned hunt? Yeah.
A canned hunt is where they'll have, usually it's some kind of fancy hoof stock. Most of it comes from the zoos. And the hunters will go there and they'll pay a $1,500 fee and they're guaranteed that they'll get the kind of animal that they want to shoot because they're shooting it in this small fenced-in area.
These big, brave hunters, huh?
Yeah. And so they do the same thing with cats, but of course, since that's dangerous, they just leave them in the transportation wagon and they shoot them in the transport. And it's legal to do that to lions and to cougars and bobcats because they're not protected. But they even do it to tigers and leopards and endangered animals as well in a black market setting.
You know, it just came into my head. I'm totally against hunting of any animal, but, you know, growing up in the Midwest, I did know some people that would go hunt. And the thrill of it was going around, you know, finding this animal.
Well, being a hunter.
Being a hunter. But what kind of person, seriously, it gets a thrill, or what is the thrill out of killing an animal that's in a cage? I mean, a two-year-old could kill an animal that way. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what kind of person this is.
I think it's scary to know that there are so many of those kind of people among us, because it's not fair chase. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not what hunting ever was meant to have been. And there was a time in our past when it was something that we needed to do, but we don't need these animals for their fur now, and, you know, we don't need to be killing them in the wild.
Boy, that's really, really sad. Hey, why don't you tell us about this recent cat Barbara was telling me about, a recent tiger that you rescued in Florida?
There were actually four there. It was a facility that was breeding mostly white tigers because people just love the white tigers.
They're gorgeous.
They are, but the only way you can get the white tiger is through severe inbreeding. But at any rate, this place had been there since the 40s, and they had been just cranking out tigers all of these years. And there was a young 17-year-old woman that was mauled by an escaped cougar there. Another man lost his leg there when the cat came out of the cage, and a third man ended up dying when a cat tore out of its cage. And so USDA finally shut the place down in August of 2006. So in May of this year, I get a call from a woman, and she said that all the other cats being white tigers, they were able to find homes for them. You know, people wanted to breed them and keep producing more tigers, so they took the white cats. But there were four old 14-year-old golden tigers that nobody wanted, and she had been going out to this place like twice a week. All they have is a little bedpan to fill up with water. And whatever food she could scarf up around town, she would bring out to the cats, and they were starving to death. And she said, you know, I just can't afford to do this anymore. And it was on a Monday that she called me, and she said, Friday, I'm going to put these cats to sleep if somebody doesn't come get them. So we went up there, and we were just horrified. This whole place had just completely collapsed around these cats. And we were able to rescue them and bring them in. And one of them was just, her name's Bella, and she was just so catatonic when we got there. It was like there was nobody left at home.
Her spirit was gone. She was just ready to die.
She was so far gone, we didn't think she'd make the trip, and it was only like an hour and a half away.
But
she's come around, and she's beautiful, and she was walking and stuffing and talking.
What a success story.
That is. Can any of these cats be returned to the wild?
They can't. You know, there's the reason these cats are disappearing in the wild is because there's no habitat left for them. And the ones that we rescue are coming from, you know, they've been bred in captivity generation after generation. They have no hunting skills. Their mothers never got the chance to raise them. They've been bottle raised by people so that they could be used for all of these purposes that people use them for. And there's no, you know, most of these cats are not native to the U.S., so we wouldn't be able to release them here. And they've been declawed, and they've been defanged. The only cats that we can turn back to the wild are the ones who have come from the wild. And we had four recent bobcats that came from the wild that are candidates to go back out to the wild, which is the best part of what we do. I just love being able to open that door and let them go.
Oh, Born Free has always been one of my favorite movies. Remember Elsa?
Wasn't she cross-eyed?
Yeah. So you also rehab some of the cats, too, don't you?
Yes, the bobcats we do. We had four bobcats come in this year in a span of 4 weeks, and we hadn't seen a bobcat in 2 years, so it was really kind of odd to have four of them come in right back to back. And three of them apparently had been orphaned in different situations, and so those are the really hard ones to try and rehab and send back to the wild, because their mother will take a year and a half to teach them everything they need to know about being bobcats. And so my daughter has taken this on as her project. When these babies come in, we don't, you know, let them play around people. They stay completely away from people. They learn how to hunt rats from a very young age. And since we have three of them this year, it's great because they'll be able to imprint on each other. And then she goes through this process of a year and a half of teaching them everything that she can, and then being able to release them. And to, she sets camera traps up so that she can tell that she's actually successful. You know, a year later, we're seeing some of these same cats, so it's great to see that.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Listen, Carol, hold that thought. We have to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Great.
Okay.